everyone. Welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan. Because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason. And here we delve into all of those reasons. Happy Women in Horror Month. It's finally March. How have you been celebrating so far? I know we're only 5 days in. Make sure to let me know what you're watching over on Twitter or Instagram at Who's There PC. I'm super stoked to kick off the month with my conversation with one of the hosts of the Horror Cafe podcast, Erica. You've probably heard her on the Horror Movie Crew podcast or Two Chicks and a Horror Flick, and I was so happy and excited that she was willing to come on. She told me how she watched The Shining at far too young of an age, and the one scene she wasn't allowed to watch as a kid, and what her favorite subgenres are today, and her least favorite. She let me in on her favorite place to stream hidden horror gems, and what horror movie she's most looking forward to in 2024. I'd also love to shout out our newest patrons, Robert, Sharon, and Tracy. Thank you so much for your support. And if you're listening right now and you want to join the community over there, click the link in the show notes. And for as low as $1 a month, you'll get access to early episodes, stickers, a monthly newsletter, and more. As always, please take a second to rate and review the show wherever you listen. And let's get into my conversation with Erica. Hey, Erica, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited we're finally getting to chat. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. I'm very excited to be here. So I'm Erica. I'm co-host of the Horror Cafe podcast. I'm all the way down here in Florida. It is really hot down here at this time of year. I have three kitties. I love horror movies, horror books, anything scary, always have my whole life. And I'm into reading, photography, video games, movies, shows, cooking, you name it. I'm all there.
Awesome. Sounds very diverse. You're way more, diversified in your interest than I am. So good on you.
Oh, thank you.
So first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
Ooh, The Shining. That has been my favorite movie my whole life. Like, nothing tops it. I have it in a pedestal, and it will never, well, let's not say never, but to this day, it's never been dropped down.
Awesome. Why is that your favorite?
So I can't pinpoint the first horror movie I watched. I can pinpoint maybe a few horror movies I've ever watched when I was a kid. Because I watched this very young, which is probably very inappropriate, but that's okay. I think we all did that at some point where we watched movies we weren't supposed to. And my mom, who is my co-host on the podcast, is the one who introduced me to horror and to this movie. And I think it's a double whammy that it was something we watched together and bonded us. And then I remember being maybe 8 or 10 and thinking, wow, this is insane. I love this movie. And even then, I loved the visuals of the movie. I was just not allowed to watch the bathroom scene. That was the only thing I was told. You need to go to another room and skip that part. And then as I got older, I just appreciated it even more as an art form. And I watch it every year, sometimes multiple times a year. It's my comfort horror movie too, which is weird to say because it's super long and slow and very drawn out, but that's my movie. So
I love it. I think I was 11 when I watched Scream for the first time. So we've all watched inappropriate movies at young ages.
Absolutely. I think I did too, actually. And I had Scream on VHS back in the day. And I watched that over and over inappropriately as well, because it was amazing back then. It was groundbreaking.
Yeah. I had all the Scream movies on VHS. I was so mad at myself later, like a couple of years ago, because I wanted to like get them from my parents' house. When I had gone through like a deep dive of like Marie Kondoing my childhood bedroom, I was like, I don't need these, just donate them. So.
God. Oh no. Now you're like, darn it. I wish I had it.
I watch, what do you find scary about The Shining? If you find anything scary about it still?
So, yeah, I definitely don't find it as scary as I did, right? Initially, a lot of horror movies do have that. I feel like they're initially very scary, and when you rewatch them, they're not as scary, but you still enjoy it. I don't know if that's common, but what I always found scary is I love ghosts. I love haunting genres. That's one of my favorite themes in horror because I personally do believe in ghosts. So it adds that element of fear for me. But I also love the descent into madness because I do think that's very possible for anybody to go through as Jack did. And then it's just the combo of psychological horror, plus you're adding these ghosts and just watching it happen. And I mean, to me, the scariest scene that I still get goosebumps is when Danny's on his little, what is that, big wheel tricycle thing, and he turns the corner and the twins are down the hall. It still gets to me. It's the music, it's how loud it is, it's chilling. So that's still the scariest part of the movie for me, and it always was the scariest part for me.
Awesome. Speaking of ghosts, have you ever seen one?
I have not. I have had experiences where I feel like there was something around me or I heard something, but I can't like confirm that 100%. Sometimes I wonder if it's suggestion or not. Do I want to see one? No. As much as I believe in them and like that theme, I don't want anything near me either. So,
Yeah,
because I'm still scared of everything.
I totally relate. I'm like, I believe in ghosts. You're there. Cool. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I respect it. I don't touch that. I'm
It's
good.
real. It's real until, and I don't need proof. Just leave
I
me alone.
don't. I don't. And like with my cats, because they say animals are very intuitive with spirits. Sometimes my cats stare off into a corner or into the abyss is what I call in the house. And I'm always wondering, are you seeing a ghost? Don't tell me. Just keep it away if you need to with your cat powers or whatever.
Yeah, my cats will often just stare into a doorway, and my boyfriend is always like, they're just hanging out with ghosts. And when they're meowing at 3 a.m., they're just hanging out with ghosts. And I'm like, well, they can keep the ghosts. So
Absolutely. They can guard us.
So how did you first fall in love with the horror genre?
So it was, like I said, it was my mom who introduced me to it. I'm between Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Shining, and definitely a show called Are You Afraid of the Dark back when I was a kid. Pretty sure it sounds familiar to you too. Perfect. It was those three things at a very impressionable age that got me into horror. And as a kid, I used to have sleepovers with cousins that were we were all the same age. And back then, you used to have to go to Blockbuster to go rent videos, right? And we would always go to the horror section. Our aunt would rent it for us, and that's what we would do is horror. And I always loved, even though it's not for everybody, and when you ask people, do you like horror? People usually just cringe. And it's so odd because the community is big. But in person, it's hard to find for me an equal fan. But it brings people together because you're so tensed up. I love it. And I just fall in love with that feeling of anxiety, fear, and then the adrenaline rush, and then the release of it. It's so strange. It's a strange feeling. And it's those three shows and movies that really made me fall in love with it. The show for sure, Are You Afraid of the Dark, is what got me so hooked. Any rerun, new episodes, I was there for it on Nickelodeon back then, back in the day.
Yeah, I loved Are You Afraid of the Dark. Several years back on Black Friday, Vudu was selling the entire series for like $9.99. So,
What?
yeah,
Oh,
it was great.
wow.
And
I
like
gotta keep an eye on that.
Neve Campbell is in an episode, and all these other people. So you touched upon this a little and why you love the horror genre, but why do you think that people like us who seem perfectly sane, quote unquote, love the horror genre?
I like the quote unquote because we are. And it's funny because, again, when I've mentioned if I'm with a group of people, especially a new group, oh, what kind of movies do you like? I always drop the bomb. Oh, I love horror because everybody's reaction is usually, oh, what? I can't believe it. Who? Why? And I always explain, I I'm sane, right? Seemingly sane. I love the adrenaline rush. And I'm always looking for that adrenaline rush from the fear that you get. It's protected fear, right? Because, like I said, I would never want to see a ghost. With home invasion or slasher movies, I would never want anybody chasing me around with a knife, but I'm protected by a screen. I can enjoy it with the character that it's happening to. And I love it. It's this joy that I get in what's going to happen next. And with jump scares, what's going to get me to jump? Because I find it fun to be scared. It's a fun feeling. And like I said, when I'm really stressed out or having a bad day, watching a scary movie is great because you build that tension up, you scream and you release it, and I feel better. I know it's weird, not to us, but I know it's weird to other people. And when I explain it, they're like, oh, I guess that makes sense. But a lot of people don't seem to understand. But for me, it's that rush. And I like the stories in horror stories. They are difficult stories most of the time. They're stories that are sometimes more realistic because they're dealing with a lot of despair a lot of the time that other movies don't always touch on. So kind of like a double there.
Yeah, definitely. And I love when people say they don't like horror movies, but then they're like, but I love Independence Day and Jurassic Park. I'm like, those are kind of horrifying.
Listen, Jurassic Park, if that happened, that's pretty scary to anybody. It's real life horror.
I was watching Jurassic World recently, and I'm like, this is a horror movie because it's when like the pterodactyls are flying into the park and like killing people. I'm like,
Yeah.
this is scary.
It is.
So what scares you today in horror movies?
So today it is harder to scare me nowadays, and I'm gonna say it. I am a chicken shit. Like, I am the worst and best horror fan because I get scared with everything. Minus slashers, they're not as scary because I don't know, they're not they're it's a different form of scary, but I am super jumpy. So to scare me is very easy, but it's getting harder for some horror movies to scare me. So nowadays, it's either found footage that scares me the most, or these I call the elevated horror cycle, more deep movies, because sometimes they have a layer of realism and the psychological aspect of it that I'm like, this is more terrifying than a ghost popping out at me. But I'm still looking for those jump scare ghost movies, if that makes sense.
Definitely. What is one of the scariest movies that you've seen in recent years?
So actually in 2023, one of the scariest movies I watched last year was Hell House Origins, the one that came out last year. That one has the two things I love the most. It's found footage, ghosts, and that I was very cautious with that one because I love the original one so much that I'm like, this is not going to do it for me. But I was really terrified in that movie. I had a lot of tense moments. I had a lot of screaming moments and a lot of moments that even though I didn't scream, it scared me.
That's awesome. I saw that at a screening that they did here downtown before it came on to Shudder, which was fun. I think I was so confused for like the first little part of it because they're like Carmichael Manor, and I was like, "So is this like
Yes.
different than the like a different story sort of storyline?" But then they kind of connected it all. But Hell House LLC is
Oh.
like one of my favorite like Halloween horror movies. I love it.
Yes. I love it. It's so good. That's another one I watch every year since I discovered it. And that is so cool. You got to watch it on the big screen. That's awesome.
And the Stephen Cognetti was there, and a lot of the cast was there too.
Oh, wow, that's so. And were they there to ask questions or open questions and things like that, or?
Stephen Cognetti did a Q&A after, and I think the cast, they were like sitting in the row behind me. They were just there to like see it, but like if somebody
Wow.
had a question for them, I think they answered it if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
So.
That is so cool. Congrats. That's amazing that you got to experience that.
It was fun. So you kind of touched on this a little bit, but what is your favorite and least favorite subgenres in horror?
Oh, yeah. So, favorite subgenre, it was ghosts, like I mentioned. But now it is absolutely found footage. And most of the time, I would say 99% of the time, found footage has ghosts in them anyway. It's usually paranormal based. And the why, I would say, because people love to ask me why, it's because I like that first person shot. It makes it much more real and that it's coming at you versus you watching characters in third person. So I love that semi-immersive experience with found footage, and I'm always looking for the next one. One of my favorite places to watch them is on Tubi. I know they're very low budget and kind of cheesy on there, but I've found some little gems there that, despite the cheesiness, have had some good stories and decent scares. For least favorite, it would have to be slasher movies. They slasher slash monster movies, they just don't attract my attention that much. Monster movies for sure, because I just they're so unbelievable that I guess that stops me from enjoying it. And slashers, I have this argument all the time that all horror movies at the end of the day end up being the same, right? How many times can you reinvent a haunted house story? How many times can you reinvent a slasher? But for some reason, and possession movies, but slashers and possession are there for me that it's okay, here we go again. It's a masked person chasing a bunch of people. We're gonna either find out who it is or it stays a mystery. And it's just, I don't know, it's not fun for me most of the time.
I feel like slashers are what most people think of when they think of horror movies. So they're like the most basic. But what are your favorite found footage and your favorite ghost movie?
So found footage movies, Hell House is definitely my number one. It actually used to be Paranormal Activity because when that came out, I went to watch that in the theater. I couldn't sleep for a week
Oh,
at the
so
time.
jealous.
You didn't get to watch it in theater?
No,
No.
I
Oh, it was
know.
so good. Because that'd be great. You know, on their anniversary of something, they should re-release it because the sound effects of that movie are very impressive that it's worth a theater watch. So that would be a really cool idea. We need to email somebody from them and be like, hey, we should
Yeah.
release this.
Last year, there's a little group of indie theaters called the Nighthawk in New York City. And last year they did a screening of Paranormal Activity, but it was at midnight. And I was like, I can't. And there were like going to be two people there. Like, I want to go in a packed theater. So, but speaking of the sound aspect, I did just get a TV with Bluetooth finally. So I want to hook up my Bluetooth headphones to it. So maybe I could watch that with Bluetooth.
Ooh. Oh, that's going to sound like it's right there for you. So I think it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
It'll still be like a theater experience for you.
Yeah.
So,
And
but Hell House is number one. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. And ghost, your favorite ghost movie, is that The Shining?
So it is, but because I always feel like I will always say The Shining for everything. So I'm actually going to say that my favorite ghost movie is The Conjuring.
Nice. I love that one. It never gets old.
It doesn't. It doesn't. And that one I did watch in the theater as well. And I remember
Yes.
coming out thinking this was worth all the hype, all the great ratings. Like this, even though it's kind of ghost and possession-ish, maybe you could argue, but it's a ghost movie to me. And it's you root for that family. The scares of that movie are fantastic. The story is fantastic. You just want, what is it, Ed and Lorraine to help these people? Please help them. Because I'm a sucker for a bad ending in horror movies, meaning nobody lives or the ghost continues or whatever the evil is in the movie continues. Because I feel like that's the real version of horror, that a lot of the time the bad will prevail. But in The Conjuring, I always want the families to win because you root for them. They're so well played and well acted that you can't help it.
Yeah, I love them. I want to go visit the actual Conjuring House in Connecticut at some point, which I'm sure they won't let you on the property, but I just want to see
So do I, from far
it.
away.
I've only visited Ed and Lorraine's house very quickly because I was told that neighbors would come out and like tell you to go away. No one did, but maybe because it was COVID.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. And they used to have a museum, I think, of that room. Do they still have that or they closed it?
I think they got shut down because they did not have a permit to have a museum. So, and then they've both since died. So I probably their daughter still owns the house, but they have a big sign that says no trespassers that I took a picture with. So
That's the
right.
best picture. Yeah, absolutely.
Who would you say are your favorite horror directors?
Ooh, Mike Flanagan is my favorite right now. Robert Eggers is a second favorite, only because he hasn't done that many yet. But I am very excited for what Robert Eggers brings. That's what I mean with that whole elevated horror and adding that extra newness to horror that it's not always in your face. You have to really think about it, and it's more subdued, I would say. But Mike Flanagan, he can remake The Shining. I'm very against remaking that movie, but when I watched Dr. Sleep, and spoiler if anybody hasn't seen it, if he remakes The Shining with how he had those scenes in Dr. Sleep, I'm in. But only he can do it. Only he's allowed. Because funny enough, I watched an interview with him last night with Mike Flanagan, and he is a huge Stephen King fan. He loves all his works and he loves adapting the works. And I can see him taking that property and giving it all the love it deserves and making it his own. I'm not going to say better, but his own. And I would love to see that. I love his style and I love his love for the genre, which is what you want, right? You want these directors that do horror movies to love it just as much as you, because then they give you these amazing movies. So Mike Flanagan, Robert Eggers, Brandon Cronenberg is getting up there because I like his weird sci-fi tech horror thing going on. It's technology on steroids because I do think at some point things like this can happen in his movies. These very interesting sci-fi situations of mind control or cloning. You never know. So I think he has a very good imagination that I appreciate.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't seen Possessor, but I did see Infinity Pool last year, which was very unique.
Very. It's a little long, in my opinion. It's a bit long, but the idea of it is what I liked, right? Like, how did you sit there and think about this? And how disturbing is that? And can one day that come to fruition in our modern world? We don't know. I mean, there's AI everywhere. You never know what can be next. So Possessor is good. I think it's worth a watch to see that other more of that technology insanity with his imagination.
I will have to keep that in mind. So
Yes.
you mentioned before you're the host of the Horror Cafe podcast, which you co-host with your mom. How did the idea come about to do a podcast with your mom about horror movies?
So as I mentioned, she and I are very close. We're best friends. She is the one who introduced me to horror. And since I was a kid, we would always go to the movies together to watch horror movies. She introduced me to Stephen King, and then I just started watching more horror movies. And so we started having movie nights as I got older. Once a week, we would just watch a movie, and it's always a horror movie. And then the next day, we would literally call each other, "Oh my God, what did you think of this scene? What do you think that meant?" And blah, blah, blah. We would just go on and on. So one day I go to her, "Why don't we make a podcast about this? We're already talking about it. Let's just put it out there and see what happens." And she was immediately on board and just, she didn't question it. She was just like, "Why?" I go, "Why not? I mean, it'd be fun. We meet people. There's going to be other horror fans out there. Let's just do it." So I literally just dropped that in her lap, and we've been doing this is our fourth year now.
Wow. What are your favorite movies that you've covered?
Oof, let's see. We did do The Shining, so that's definitely one. Let's see. Oh man, there's so many. So funny enough, we did Friday the 13th our first year. We both did not like it. So I'm sorry to anybody who loves that movie. I know there's huge fans of Friday the 13th, but we had so much fun laughing and not liking it. I always tell her, I think it's fun to do movies we don't like because there's so much more fun in that. So that's one of the ones that we've had the most fun with, I would say. We theme our months, right? For example, July is always our shark or sea creature month because it's summer. So I loved the shark movies that we've done because it's so funny to sit there and talk about one, we live in Florida, we're scared of the ocean, but we still go in, kind of thing. But ultimately, like, Friday the 13th episode was one of my favorites because we were laughing our asses off at making fun of it. And Dead Silence last year, that was a rough one because she
Yeah.
went in on that pretty hard. I was like,
Oh,
damn, mom, relax. Like, it's not that bad. She was just like, but it was hilarious. It was so funny to me to hear her. And it's just the whole thing is really nice because now I have this legacy with my own mom
yeah.
for the future too. And it's just this really nice bonding experience, and picking the movies together every year is so much fun. So it's hard to pinpoint, but those two I know come to mind because she was just so angry. I'm like, it's okay. It's not that bad.
I watched Dead Silence for the first time this past October, and I was like, thank God James Wan got better at movies. This is not very good.
I know it was rough. It was, and that Patrick Wilson got better because it was
Yeah.
just so. And I remember watching it when it came out, thinking this was decent. And it's funny how your taste changes and how you view movies differently. Because when we did watch it, I was thinking the same thing. Oh, thank God James Wan got way better. What is this? I didn't even think it was him. Like, it's so bad.
It was not, very good. And I was a little bit
No.
bored during it until like the end where
Yep.
you found out what was happening. I don't know. I don't mean to be super,
Yeah.
super cruel to that movie. We all start somewhere. So you live in Florida. I think I've heard you maybe on Horror Movie Crew talk about the movie
Yes.
Crawl. Yeah. Have you
Oh
seen that?
yes.
I love that movie.
I love it. I love it. I wish I had seen it in theater.
I did. It was fun.
But I'm sure it is, that movie was really surprising. We did do an episode on that because we watched it and then thought this was so great. We have to do an episode on it. I love the father-daughter aspect of that movie. It was different because it's usually,
Yeah.
a couple, or if anything, it's a father-son, mother-daughter. I love the father-daughter. And it's very relatable for me because, granted, that hurricane, I mean, I'm sure there are hurricanes. I've never been through one that bad, but we have had hurricanes where the water comes up to your knee in the neighborhood, and there could be a gator anywhere hanging around. So it was action-packed. I love the story. I love the gators. The drama of all the Florida stuff was great because it was great to see it. It's like, yes, that's how it is. It's crazy.
I really enjoy that movie. I have it on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever. So whenever we
I
get
need
like
to
a
get
big
it.
rain, whenever we get a big rainstorm, I'm like, I'll put this on. I'm a
That's
weirdo.
so appropriate. I should get one. I should get one for like when it's hurricane season. I could put this on and be like, please don't let this happen this year,
Yeah.
ever. Like to
Can
ward it off, kind of thing.
Yeah. It was fun to see in theaters though. Yeah,
I can imagine.
it was so much better than I was expecting because usually creature features are not that great.
Right. And I personally love shark movies because I go to them anticipating the cheese. It's cheesy. I'm there to watch, how are they going to kill these people in the movie? I know it's right. That's horror fans talking. You're the morbidity of what you're saying, right? But
Yeah.
they're cheesy, and that's what I watch them for. But I was like, a gator, this is going to be bad. But I agree, it was so much better than I was anticipating, and the CGI. If they were CGI, I'm assuming they were. They
Yeah.
looked great.
Yeah,
So,
I thought so too. I don't think I've ever seen any other gator horror movies or crocodile
me
horror
either.
movies. So, yeah.
Yeah,
Let's
I'm
hope.
here for it.
I mean, the director, Alexander Aja, hasn't really done anything since, so been a while. Come on.
Right. It's like, come on, because I think he did the Hills Have Eyes, right?
Yeah, which I also
It's.
have not seen. There are a lot of movies of his that I have not seen. I've heard that Hills Have Eyes is very intense. So.
It is. It is. I like it, but it is intense. There's scenes that are, ooh, even for now, we've all watched, I think, maybe worse movies at this point and just disturbing, violent, but The Hills Have Eyes still holds up after all these years. It's worth a watch.
I definitely want to watch it. My friend and I, like 10 years ago on 4th of July weekend, we were like, we want to watch a horror movie. And then we put on the remake of Last House on the Left, not knowing anything about it. And so we were like, wow, that was a choice. But I feel like I could handle The Hills Have Eyes, having seen, Martyrs and
Oh,
Last House
yeah.
on the Left and all that. So I'm probably making it up to be too much. I think I had too high of expectations for When Evil Lurks last year. And then when I watched it, I was like, that wasn't that bad.
I love that movie. That was one of my favorites last year. With The Hills Have Eyes, if you watched, I watched the original, The Last House on the Left, and I don't want to watch that again. It was a lot, even for then. I think that's a 60s or 70s movie. I don't know if I'd want to watch the remake at this point, but if you watch that and Martyrs, then you're fine with The Hills Have Eyes. It's less than that.
Good to know. Can you talk about any of the movies you're planning to do this year on your podcast?
Yeah, so we let's see, we already recorded for February. So February we do found footage February. That's our month. I kind of claim it as my month. And we did Hell House Origins and we did Deadstream, which was one I really enjoyed from 2022. So we had a lot of fun. We just pre-recorded that one yesterday and we were having a blast with it because that movie is fun. It's just silly, but another one that I thought was really well done for what it was. So we're very excited about that. What else? We have it all plotted out. I just can't remember. But those are at least in February, that's our big ones that are coming out
Oh,
in February.
awesome. Have
Yeah.
you seen Chad Gets the Axe?
I have not.
No,
Never heard of it.
it came out last year. It's another like YouTuber found footage horror movie. It's like
Ooh.
Deadstream, but I liked it more than that because I found like
Ooh.
the main character, the main YouTubers are a little bit more likable than the
Okay,
guy in
yeah.
Deadstream. So,
Yeah. Chad gets the axe. Okay, where is
yeah,
it? Where's that at?
I'm not sure. It's
I'll look
hashtag
it up.
Chad Gets the Axe. So,
Okay.
yeah.
Ooh, I'll have to watch it. Thanks. Any found footage
Yes.
recommendations, always send it my way because even if I've watched it, it's fine. And I could have not watched, like I've never heard of that. So
Yeah.
I'll be watching that soon.
Have you seen The Gallows?
Yes.
I
I
like
like
the,
it.
yeah, I do too. It reminds me of when I was in high school doing theater. So,
I like the, see, that's an example of the endings that I like in that movie. It has the unhappy ending and I like the whole high school be it, them being at a high school aspect. I enjoy that movie a lot, to be honest.
Yeah, I do
So,
too. I
I get
just
it.
bought that one on DVD as well to have in my collection. So I don't know how long it'll be on streaming. So,
Yeah, that one's hard to find.
I think it's on Hulu. So right now it's on
Ooh, good to
Hulu.
know.
It at least last time I checked. And then I'm assuming you've seen like Mungo.
Yes, Lake Mungo.
So good.
Yes, so good. Have you watched one called Butterfly Kisses?
Yeah, I just randomly put that on a couple of years ago on Amazon, and I was like, what is this? I want to rewatch it actually.
Yes, I
So.
do too. And there's this other one. See, I like these kind of movies, sleepers, but people do know about them if you dig. And then there's one called Horror in the High Desert. I liked that one a lot too.
I have a screener. I have not seen Horror on the High Desert, but I have a screener link waiting right now for Horror on the High Desert 2. I don't know if I can watch it
Okay.
without having seen the first one, but I don't know. It seems interesting to me. It sounds interesting.
It is. It's again, it's that mockumentary found footage style, like Mungo and Butterfly Kisses. I think you do need to watch the first one, but I can't remember it to be. I saw the second one a little bit ago, so I can't remember. I kind of want to rewatch both, but I'm glad you've heard of them because not everybody has heard of these, so it's exciting. I love it.
Now I'm just like focus on like found footage horror movies. Anyway, we'll move forward. You're
I hear
also
you.
a regular co-host of the podcast Horror Movie Crew. How did you get involved with that?
So with that, I met Josh, who is the one of the hosts from Horror Movie Crew podcast, through another. So I met a podcast on Elm Street first, and I became friends with them, and they sent me over to Josh to just network. And then I came on for a cocktails episode, the where you just chit chat for 2 hours, basically. And then I don't know, we bonded, and he just sent me another idea, like, hey, let's do a Game of Thrones recap. Okay, cool. And then we just started collaborating on multiple episodes, and then he just kind of asked me to be, a co-host as well. And I was like, sure, absolutely. And so now I do different episodes with him. It's usually about movie news is the biggest one we do, but then we do a lot of ranking episodes. Like, we do lists of different horror topics, or we'll do movies once in a while as well if time permits, because life is crazy nowadays. It feels like we're always on the go.
Yeah.
No, so that's how that happened. I've been co-hosting basically for over a year with him.
Yeah, that's super fun. I've listened to a bunch of those episodes. They're always a good time.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, super fun. Like, most of the time we just end up ranting about something completely different, sometimes non-horror related, which is that's what's made this podcasting adventure and the horror community so great, is that you meet other people like you, and it never gets old talking about horror movies that you love and just meeting new people. And then you just talk about other things that are non-horror related, like cats or other movies. It's great.
Yeah, I love it. Are there any horror movies that you won't watch or that you won't watch ever again? You kind of touched on this before.
There's a few. So yeah, I had forgotten about that movie until you brought it up. So Last House on the Left, it is a good movie. I don't know if you can say that, but it is, because it's impactful, but I don't want to watch it again unless it's for an episode, I guess. Megan is Missing is a found footage movie. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I've heard of it. I've not seen it. I don't know if I really want to watch it, but.
Yeah, it's very cheesy, meaning it is very low budget. The acting is not great. It's, teenage girls that you could tell they probably haven't acted before, but it's the last 20 minutes of that movie are extremely brutal. So I don't want to watch that movie again. I initially watched it a long time ago and couldn't get through the movie. And then I told my mom about it, and of course she got curious. So she wanted to watch it. Finally watched it the whole way through, and I go, yeah, I'm not doing this again. So if you're a parent, I think it's hard to watch if you're a parent, for sure. But even so, it's a difficult watch and a subject matter that I don't want to revisit. One movie I have not seen and don't want to see is it Cannibal Holocaust? I don't want to watch that because I've heard they also hurt animals in that. I'm not, and I'm very sensitive with that as it is, even when it's fake. It's like, oh no, the dog, the cat died, of course. But I have read that that really happened, and I'm just not interested in something like that. I'm not even that curious about the movie to begin with, so that's one that I don't really plan on watching ever. I'm good.
Yeah, me too. I would suggest watching Green Inferno instead. Not
I
that Green
did.
Inferno. Okay. It's not that
Yeah.
it's great, but the opening scene at the cafe was shot at the cafe near my apartment. So,
Ooh,
that was a
cool.
fun thing 'cause they're Columbia students. I was
Very
like, "I know
nice.
that place. I go there every day."
Isn't it cool when you recognize places, right,
Yes.
in movies from your hometown? It's like, oh,
Yeah.
there it is.
Have you ever
That's
had
awesome.
any noteworthy experiences seeing a horror movie in theaters?
Yes, The Ring. When that movie came out, I was in high school, and I remember people talking about it, but luckily not spoiling it. So it was a Friday, Saturday night. I went with my boyfriend at the time. There was no assigned seating back then, right? The pre-picking your seat. So you had to get there and hope you found a seat. The theater was so packed. I mean, it was full. It was sold out that we had to sit at the front. So you're basically looking up at the screen. So hopefully anybody listening to this has watched The Ring. If not, I guess don't listen anymore. But when Samara comes out of the well, it was the most shocking thing I had seen at the time. And the whole theater went insane. And then seeing it so large because of where I was sitting, it was I mean, I remember it to this day. I have never forgotten how amazing that felt. That's that situation where horror brought people together in that theater. It was PG-13, so I think it could bring audiences that are not new, are not super fans of horror. It could bring fans of horror. It brought all age groups because it was PG-13, so there was a variety of people in that theater. But hearing people go, "Oh my God, oh shit, what the fuck is that?" It was fantastic because even I just looked at the screen and I said, "What is that? Is she out of the TV? Oh my God."
I
It was
love that.
great.
I love that so much. Yeah, I also saw it. I was also in high school and I saw it. I saw it twice in theaters. I think I was by myself both
Nice.
times, but
Oh, wow.
I remember the reaction to when they flashed the face at the beginning and everyone freaked out. And the second time I went to go see it, I was like waiting for that moment and like watching people as that happened. And then I think 2 or 3 years ago, they did the programmers at Nighthawk did a screening of it, I think on Halloween. So I went to that, and there were a lot of people who had never seen it before. And the presenter was like,
Nice.
"Get ready for the most intense PG-13 horror movie you've ever seen." And a lot of the lines, like from the son, from Aiden, like don't land as well anymore. Like they just sound awkward. But like people were still freaking out, like especially at the end, like you were talking about when she comes out of the TV.
So
Still
good.
works.
It's so good. Especially then where you just you weren't saturated with so much horror at the time because streaming services didn't exist. So it was mind-blowing, honestly. And that's that obviously Ringu existed, but we didn't know about that yet. Everything took longer to get to us versus now. So that was fantastic.
Yeah, I love that. That yeah, no, The Ring is my number one.
Oh, yay. So
Yeah.
good.
Yeah. What would you say was your favorite horror movie of 2023?
2023 was a really good year, I think. I chose a movie that is not in my norm to love for 2023. It was actually Saw 10 because I also had a really good theater experience. Not as great as The Ring, but the theater was interactive. I hadn't watched a Saw movie in theater since maybe Part 2, maybe. And I really liked it. I don't know what it is. Did you watch it?
I did. I watched it in theaters and it was
Okay.
a packed theater, really enthusiastic.
Super. And what I liked about this version was that I sympathized with a character I didn't think I would ever sympathize with. They really manipulated the audience, or at least me, to go, I feel a little sorry for you.
Yeah.
I shouldn't. You're a murderer, you're a psycho. Like, I shouldn't, but here we are. And the movie theater, although it wasn't packed, it was pretty full for the time that we went during the day. And they were very interactive. I liked the story of this one, like I said. And then just the ending when they play that Saw music again, and I hadn't
Yeah.
heard it in so long. I was really pumped with how good the movie was that it left an impression for 2023 for me. And I think that was the last movie for 2023 that I watched in the theater horror wise. And that was great. It's like, great. This was a great year again, because 2022 was good. And then this year was great, or sorry, last year was great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Saw 10. I hadn't seen a Saw movie in theaters since the original because
Okay.
I was just so scarred by the original. I did see Spiral in theaters, but people don't really count that. So, yeah, this
Yeah, I
somebody
haven't
brought.
watched that yet.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's like a Law and Order episode, but
Oh,
I don't know.
okay.
So, it's like detective stuff. But yeah,
Okay.
there was a guy in my theater who brought his jigsaw doll and like stood it like on the like the mezzanine parts.
Wow.
I was
That's
like, oh,
awesome.
someone's dedicated. I thought the acting was a
Super.
lot better in this one than all of the other sequels, because all of the other I binged them all last year and they were fucking terrible. Like the acting was so bad.
Yeah, that's the thing. I know I watched part one, two, and three in general, but then after that I may have seen one more, and then I dropped the series because the acting was bad. I was just over the same thing, right? It was repetitive. What trap are we gonna make? This one I thought I didn't see Spiral, so I can't say anything on that. I did hear pretty good reviews from it, but this one felt new, even though it was the same. It felt new because the acting was better. The production value on it, I thought, was really well done. And then you added again, a sympathetic portion to it that changed it. It changed the game, no pun intended, in Saw.
It was a good time. And what horror movie are you most looking forward to seeing in 2024?
Ooh, that's an easy one for me. It's Nosferatu is the one I'm s the most excited for.
I'm so sorry you have to wait until the end of the year for that.
I know, but that's okay. We've waited a long time. We've waited a long time, but you've got so many things mixed up in this that has me excited. You have Robert Eggers, you have Skarsgård. I have seen the original and I actually really like it. And for a movie from 19 either the 20s or the 30s, it's a silent film. It's actually scary because I can actually put myself in that era, and these people must have been mortified at what they were watching. And he's very creepy. The actual vampire is creepy. So I'm excited to see what this director, who is very detail oriented and extremely attention to detail, I'm excited to see what he does with this. It is unfortunate I have to wait until Christmas Day, but we do love going to the movies on Christmas Day in our family, so that's going to be Christmas Day, horror and movies. Great.
Yeah, I also go to the movies usually on Christmas Day, but my parents don't like horror except for, Jurassic Park and
Darn.
Independence Day.
Yeah.
But I probably would not be seeing it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. Eggers, truthfully, not my director. His movies like often just are too slow for me, but I get why people like him a lot. But I saw in October 2022 the Gothic Cathedral in my neighborhood was showing Nosferatu with a live organ Halloween
Oh,
weekend.
that's
So I went to go
cool.
see that and it was really fun.
Very nice. Did you think it was still an impactful movie?
I thought it was impactful. I thought there was a lot of it that was still really relevant. I don't think I found it
Yeah.
that scary, but I was just like, oh, I like this is still like
Yeah.
there's still like some real like realistic elements to this that I could see applying to
Yeah.
today's day and age.
Awesome. That is so cool.
Are there any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like?
No, that's a good question. Like a specific horror movie, you mean, right? I know, I'm sure you've heard us with Josh. I know I love a movie like Midsommar, and I think that either hits people wrong, or in his case, that he hates it, and some people do love it. I think that's one of those that is controversial. But for the most part, I think it's the opposite for me. I hate Friday the 13th. The people love Friday the 13th.
I don't
I
like
have
Friday
more
the
of
13th
that.
either. So
Oh, good. It's not just us. Like, oh
I
my
like the
God.
remake. I like the 2009 remake better. It's not great, but there's more going on. I'm not as bored.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And my argument with Friday the 13th is, I mean, I know I knew it going into it, but it just bothers me that Jason is this huge character, and even in part one and two, you don't really meet him with the hockey mask, so that pisses me off. I'm like, you can't even meet this guy. What's going on? It's so annoying. But I think I generally like what everybody else, it's more of the opposite for me. Like, I dislike movies that people tend to like that. Nightmare on Elm Street, that's not my thing. Scream, I do enjoy, but it's mostly the slasher stuff that I'm like, I could,
Yeah.
take it or leave it thing.
Awesome. If you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
Oh, it's gonna be The Shining. But like I said, it has to be Mike Flanagan. Maybe Robert Eggers, but Mike Flanagan, because again, it's the love of it. And but I'm skeptical because again, I don't believe in remakes a lot of the time, because why not just leave them in the glory that they're in? It's almost like if they remade Jaws, that's another one I'd be like, don't do that, don't do it. Like that movie terrified me for life, and I don't, it's going to be a CGI nightmare in my opinion. So The Shining, as much as I don't want it to be remade, I would love to see it remade, but with the right love and in the right hands.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to see Mike Flanagan make that, especially since, from what I've heard and read, the movie did not reflect the book so much.
That's correct.
So,
It is true, so.
if you could see one horror movie on a big screen with an audience, which one would it be?
Ooh. I'm gonna say it again. It's gonna be The Shining as well. I watched Jaws as a re-release that they did.
Yeah, me
The
too.
Turner Classic Movies did it. It was so good. It was amazing. Oh my God.
I
It was
find that
such an
movie kind of
experience.
boring.
Because it does have a lot of boring parts. It is very long. It's more story driven. I did read the book, and it is very pretty on point with that, with the story part. It's but when the shark does attack, especially the Kintner kid and the raft at the beach, that's what did me in. That was it. I was an ocean girl until I met the shark, until I met Jaws. That was it. It was over. But I rewatched The Exorcist in theater as well. And so I would love to watch my favorite movie in a theater with this beautiful screen, loud, because it has loud moments, because I just want to see it and experience it. I definitely don't think it's an audience-based movie. I don't think an audience would be into it like a Saw movie. I think watching the original Scream would be fun in theaters, because we were kids, so I couldn't go watch that in theater. But watching that with an audience now, I think would be a lot of fun, actually. That would be a fun audience experience.
Yeah, I think it was September 2021. For some reason, they showed it in a bunch of AMCs in the city and I think around the country. So I went to go see it. Somebody came in right before wearing a full ghost face costume, like
Oh,
right,
wow.
and sat behind me. And I was like, I've seen this movie. You try anything, I'm gonna stab you. But it was good. It was fun. It was fun to see with a crowd. So definitely recommend that.
I can imagine, because I watched Scream 6 in theaters last year, and that was another fun experience because there were young kids in that one. I probably underage, but they still got in, or maybe at 18. And it was so much fun to watch them react to the movie, that I would think the original Scream with people in our age group that grew up with it would be fun, and newcomers, right? Like to see how they react to the big reveal, because it was so shocking back then. What? I can't believe it. That
Sorry,
was so
spoilers.
original.
Spoilers for a 25-year-old movie. Go see it.
Yes, I didn't really say it, so all I said, so you we got to, we saved the listener just in case. But
Scream. Scream 6 was fun to see in theaters. I live in the same neighborhood that Gale Weathers lived in. So when they're
cool.
going from like wherever they were in the movie and they're like tracking wherever Gale is or the killer, they're like, they're at Gale's apartment on the Upper West Side. Like my theater was just cheering because we were on the Upper West Side. So that was
That is
fun.
so cool. Did you think they used New York
Oh no,
appropriately?
that did not look like New York at all. They needed to film in New York City
No.
and not in Montreal. I was so mad. I was like,
Oh.
they're trying to make this look like the West Village downtown, and this is not what it looks like. That was my biggest qualm, aside from the
Oh.
fact that nobody died.
Yeah. Interesting. That's interesting. Oh, I didn't even know it was filmed in Montreal. That's interesting. Cool. Okay. See, that's why I'm glad I asked.
A movie that did it, that made New York really well when it wasn't filmed in New York, was Cloverfield. They filmed most of the street shots on sound stages, which I did not realize at first. I had to watch like the DVD extras, and I was like, oh damn, this isn't actually New York.
Oh,
But they did a really
nice.
good
Yeah,
job.
that's a good one. Yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah, it was the anniversary of its release a couple days ago. So,
I saw your
yeah.
post. I'm like, oh my God, I feel old. So much time has gone by. That's
I
crazy.
know. And we're getting a new one soon. So,
Yay! I'm here for it. I'm here for those kind of sequels.
hopefully it's going to be an actual better movie than like the Cloverfield Paradox.
I hope so.
Yeah. 10 Cloverfield Lane is fine, but also it's in the rural nowhere. It's not unlike the
Right.
original.
I agree.
So.
I agree with you. I'm hoping for that direct
Yeah.
sequel to the original.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
So this is coming out in March for Women in Horror Month. So let's end with this question. Who is your favorite final girl?
Ooh. I'm gonna have to say my knee-jerk reaction is going to be Sydney from Scream.
Nice.
Because again, I loved that movie growing up. I watched it way too many times, and I always loved that she was a vulnerable teenager, but she kicked ass. And she kicked ass all the way until the end, and she made it, and then she made it through all the other movies. But for the original Scream, I loved her. And she was just a great character to watch in that movie and in that whole series.
Great pick. Well, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you and your podcast and everything online?
Absolutely. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Horror Cafe Podcast. And you can listen to us on any major platforms, Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and Anchor, because that's where we have our, what is it, hosting place.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for being here, and I will see you around soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There? I hope you enjoyed my conversation, and thanks again to Erica for coming on. I'll leave links to her socials and where you can find her podcast, the Horror Cafe Podcast, in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Who's There PC. Don't forget to check out our Patreon, and if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at whostherepc@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and never ask who's there.